Section 1. Introduction. There is a federal requirement that each state have minimum standards for the licensing of commercial drivers. This manual provides driver license testing information for drivers who wish to have a commercial driver license, CDL. This manual does not provide information on all the federal and state requirements needed before you can drive a commercial motor vehicle, CMV. Every effort has been made to provide, in this publication, the most current and accurate information as of November 1, 2010. Misprints or outdated information that may appear within these pages will not override or supersede changes that have occurred in the law, promulgated rules and regulations or policy that has been initiated since the printing date. This manual does not give a complete statement of all Tennessee traffic laws and may not reflect the most recent changes in state and federal regulations. For the most current information, you should review Tennessee Code Annotated, Title 55 and Federal Motor Carrier Safety Regulations. What is a commercial driver license? Operators of larger and more complex vehicles will need to apply for a commercial driver license, CDL. These licenses include Class A, B, or C depending upon the gross vehicle weight rating, GVWR, gross combination weight rating, GCWR, and or what is being transported. The Class A with the 57 restriction code, A57, is for drivers that drive combination vehicles that would qualify under the Class A category. However, the power unit can carry a load in itself and the trailer has a GVWR of 10,001 pounds or more. Some examples are a dump truck or delivery truck pulling a trailer with a GVWR of at least 10,001 pounds. Another example is a truck towing a mobile home. Any driver wishing to obtain a Class A with the 57 restriction code will need to take the skills test in a truck and trailer that has a gross combination weight rating, GCWR, of 26,001 pounds or more, provided that the gross vehicle weight rating, GVWR, of the trailer is at least 10,001 pounds. Prior to any CDL skills tests, the vision test and all applicable CDL knowledge tests must be passed. You must have a CDL to operate. Any single vehicle with a gross vehicle weight rating, GVWR, of 26,001 pounds or more. Any combination vehicle with a gross combination weight rating of 26,001 or more pounds, if the trailer has a GVWR of 10,001 or more pounds. Any vehicle designed to transport more than 15 passengers in addition to the driver, or if the vehicle is used as a school bus, regardless of the weight of the vehicle. Any size vehicle which requires hazardous material placards, or is carrying material listed as a select agent or toxin in 42 CFR Part 73. Federal regulations through the Department of Homeland Security require a background check and fingerprinting for the hazardous materials endorsement. Rules for securing the transportation of hazardous materials, including explosives, are provided by the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, and the U.S. Department of Transportation. These rules require background checks for commercial drivers and the collection of those drivers' fingerprints. Applicants are required to have fingerprints taken by a vendor contracted by the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, submit to a criminal background check completed by TBI and FBI, and submit to a threat assessment conducted by the TSA. TSA then notifies the state as to whether or not the applicant is eligible to receive a hazardous materials endorsement, HME. Adding HME applicants wanting to add the hazardous materials endorsement, HME, on their CDL are required to first submit to a vision screening, pass the hazardous materials knowledge test, and then apply through the TSA for a criminal background check, and complete the fingerprint requirement through a vendor contracted by the TBI. Transfers. Applicants transferring a CDL with hazardous materials endorsement, HME, from another state are required to follow the TSA threat assessment procedure and to submit to a vision and knowledge test. If an applicant transferring a CDL with the hazardous materials endorsement was cleared by the TSA 6 months or less prior to their request to transfer to Tennessee, a TSA threat assessment would not be required. For more information on a hazardous material endorsement, visit the Tennessee Department of Safety's webpage, tn.gov/safety/driverlicense/hazmat.htm. To get a CDL, you must pass a general knowledge test and skills test consisting of a pre-trip inspection, basic control maneuvers, and a road test. This manual will help you pass the tests. This manual is not a substitute for a truck driver training class or program. Formal training is the most reliable way to learn the many special skills required for safely driving a large commercial vehicle and becoming a professional driver in the trucking industry. 1.1 Commercial Driver License Tests. 1.1.1 Knowledge Tests. You will have to take one or more knowledge tests, depending on what class of license and what endorsements you need. The CDL knowledge tests include the general knowledge test, taken by all applicants. The passenger transport test, taken by all bus driver applicants. The air brakes test, which you must take if your vehicle has air brakes, including air over hydraulic brakes. The combination vehicles test, which is required if you want to drive combination vehicles. The hazardous materials test is required if you want to haul hazardous materials as defined in 49 CFR 383.5. In order to obtain this endorsement, you are also required to pass a Transportation Security Administration, TSA, background check. The tanker test, required if you want to haul a liquid or liquid gas in a permanently mounted cargo tank rated at 119 gallons or more or a portable tank rated at 1,000 gallons or more. The doubles, triples test, required if you want to pull double or triple trailers. The school bus test, required if you want to drive a school bus. 1.1.2 Skills Tests. If you pass the required knowledge test, you can take the CDL skills tests. There are three types of general skills that will be tested: pre-trip inspection, basic vehicle control, and on-road driving. You must take these tests in the type of vehicle for which you wish to be licensed. Any vehicle that has components marked or labeled cannot be used for the pre-trip inspection test. Pre-trip vehicle inspection. You will be tested to see if you know whether your vehicle is safe to drive. You will be asked to do a pre-trip inspection of your vehicle and explain to the examiner what you would inspect and why. Basic vehicle control. You will be tested on your skill to control the vehicle. You will be asked to move your vehicle forward, backward, and turn it within a defined area. These areas may be marked with traffic lanes, cones, barriers, or something similar. The examiner will tell you how each control test is to be done. On-road test. You will be tested on your skill to safely drive your vehicle in a variety of traffic situations. The situations may include left and right turns, intersections, railroad crossings, curves, up and down grades, single or multi-lane roads, streets, or highways. The examiner will tell you where to drive. 1.2 CDL Disqualifications. 1.2.1 General. You may not drive a commercial motor vehicle if you are disqualified for any reason. 1.2.2 Alcohol, leaving the scene of an accident, and commission of a felony. It is illegal to operate a CMV if your blood alcohol concentration, BAC, is 0.04% or more. If you operate a CMV, you shall be deemed to have given your consent to alcohol testing. You will lose your CDL for at least 1 year for a first offense for driving a CMV if your blood alcohol concentration is 0.04% or higher. Driving a CMV under the influence of alcohol. Refusing to undergo blood alcohol testing. Driving a CMV while under the influence of a controlled substance. Leaving the scene of an accident involving a CMV. Committing a felony involving the use of a CMV. Driving a CMV when the CDL is suspended. Causing a fatality through negligent operation of a CMV. You will lose your CDL for at least 3 years if the offense occurs while you are operating a CMV that is placarded for hazardous materials. You will lose your CDL for life for a second offense. You will lose your CDL for life if you use a CMV to commit a felony involving controlled substances. You will be put out of service for 24 hours if you have any detectable amount of alcohol under 0.04%. 1.2.3 Serious Traffic Violations. Serious traffic violations are excessive speeding, 15 miles per hour or more above the posted limit, reckless driving, improper or erratic lane changes, following a vehicle too closely, traffic offenses committed in a CMV in connection with fatal traffic accidents, driving a CMV without obtaining a CDL or having a CDL in the driver's possession, driving a CMV without the proper class of CDL and/or endorsements, and violating a state or local law or ordinance on motor vehicle traffic control prohibiting texting while driving. You will lose your CDL for at least 60 days if you have committed two serious traffic violations within a 3-year period involving a CMV. For at least 120 days for three or more serious traffic violations within a 3-year period involving a CMV. 1.2.4 Violation of out-of-service orders. You will lose your CDL for at least 180 days if you have committed your first violation of an out-of-service order. For at least 1 year if you have committed two violations of an out-of-service order in a 10-year period. For at least 3 years if you have committed three or more violations of an out-of-service order in a 10-year period. 1.2.5 Railroad Highway Grade Crossing Violations. You will lose your CDL for at least 60 days for your first violation. For at least 120 days for your second violation within a 3-year period. For at least 1 year for your third violation within a 3-year period. These violations include violation of a federal, state or local law or regulation pertaining to one of the following 6 offenses at a railroad highway grade crossing. For drivers who are not required to always stop, failing to stop before reaching the crossing if the tracks are not clear. For drivers who are not required to always stop, failing to slow down and check that the tracks are clear of an approaching train. For drivers who are always required to stop, failing to stop before driving onto the crossing. For all drivers failing to have sufficient space to drive completely through the crossing without stopping. For all drivers failing to obey a traffic control device or the directions of an enforcement official at the crossing. For all drivers failing to negotiate a crossing because of insufficient undercarriage clearance. 1.2.6 Hazardous Materials Endorsement Background Check and Disqualifications. If you require a hazardous materials endorsement, you will be required to submit your fingerprints and be subject to a background check. You will be denied or you will lose your hazardous materials endorsement if you are not a lawful permanent resident of the United States. Renounce your United States citizenship. Are wanted or under indictment for certain felonies. Have a conviction in military or civilian court for certain felonies. Have been adjudicated as lacking mental capacity or have been involuntarily committed to a mental health facility as specified in Section 1572.109. Are considered to pose a security threat as determined by the Transportation Security Administration. The background check procedures vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction. Your licensing agency will provide you with all the information you need to complete the required TSA background check procedures. 1.2.7 Traffic Violations in Your Personal Vehicle. The Motor Carrier Safety Improvement Act, MCSIA, of 1999 requires a CDL holder to be disqualified from operating a commercial motor vehicle if the CDL holder has been convicted of certain types of moving violations in their personal vehicle. If your privilege to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended due to violations of traffic control laws, other than parking violations, you will also lose your CDL driving privileges. If your privilege to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended due to alcohol, controlled substance, or felony violations, you will lose your CDL for 1 year. If you are convicted of a second violation in your personal vehicle or CMV, you will lose your CDL for life. If your license to operate your personal vehicle is revoked, canceled, or suspended, you may not obtain a hardship license to operate a CMV. 1.3 Other CDL Rules. There are other federal and state rules that affect drivers operating CMVs in all states. Among them are: you cannot have more than one license. If you break this rule, a court may fine you up to $5,000 or put you in jail and keep your home state license and return any others. You must notify your employer within 30 days of conviction for any traffic violations, except parking. This is true no matter what type of vehicle you were driving. You must notify your motor vehicle licensing agency within 30 days if you are convicted in any other jurisdiction of any traffic violation, except parking. This is true no matter what type of vehicle you were driving. 49 CFR 384.226 Prohibition on masking convictions prevents states from masking, deferring imposition of judgment, or allowing an individual to enter into a diversion program that would prevent a CDL driver's conviction for any violation, in any type of motor vehicle, from appearing on the driver record, whether the driver was convicted in the state where the driver is licensed or another state. For example, federal rules do not allow a driver to have a conviction downgraded for paying court costs or attending driving school. Once a driver is found guilty, the charges cannot be reduced. You must notify your employer within 2 business days if your license is suspended, revoked, or cancelled, or if you are disqualified from driving. You must give your employer information on all driving jobs you have held for the past 10 years. You must do this when you apply for a commercial driving job. No one can drive a commercial motor vehicle without a CDL. A court may fine you up to $5,000 or put you in jail for breaking this rule. If you have a hazardous materials endorsement, you must notify and surrender your hazardous materials endorsement to the state that issued your CDL within 24 hours of any conviction or indictment in any jurisdiction, civilian or military, for, or found not guilty by reason of insanity of a disqualifying crime listed in 49 CFR 1572.103, who is adjudicated as lacking mental capacity or have been involuntarily committed to a mental institution as specified in 49 CFR 1572.109, or who renounces his or her U.S. citizenship. Your employer may not let you drive a commercial motor vehicle if you have more than one license or if your CDL is suspended or revoked. A court may fine the employer up to $5,000 or put him, her in jail for breaking this rule. All states are connected to one computerized system to share information about CDL drivers. The states will check on drivers' accident records to be sure that drivers do not have more than one CDL. You must be properly restrained by a safety belt at all times while operating a commercial motor vehicle. The safety belt design holds the driver securely behind the wheel during a crash, helping the driver to control the vehicle and reduces the chance of serious injury or death. If you do not wear a safety belt, you are 4 times more likely to be fatally injured if you are thrown from the vehicle. 1.4 Applying for a commercial driver license, CDL, or permit in the state of Tennessee. To apply for a commercial driver's license or permit, you must meet all the qualifications described below. 1. You must be at least 21 years of age. Exceptions. If you operate a vehicle solely intrastate and within 100 miles of job, and your vehicle requires no special endorsements, you may obtain a B license at age 18. At age 19, you can obtain a Class A or Class B license without endorsement. 2. You must not currently be under a driver license suspension, cancellation or revocation in the state of Tennessee or any other state. 3. An applicant for a CDL must be able to provide proof of U.S. citizenship or lawful permanent resident status in order to qualify for issuance of a Tennessee CDL. Acceptable documents for proof of U.S. citizenship. Valid, unexpired U.S. passport. Certified copy of a birth certificate filed with a state office of vital statistics or equivalent agency in the individual's state of birth, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, American Samoa or the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. Consular report of birth abroad, CRBA, issued by the U.S. Department of State. Certificate of naturalization issued by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS. Certificate of U.S. citizenship issued by DHS. Acceptable documents for proof of lawful permanent resident status. Valid, unexpired permanent resident card issued by United States Customs and Immigration Services, USCIS, or Immigration and Naturalization Service, INS. 4. You must have a valid, current DOT medical card. This is also required if you are employed by a government entity and require the passenger, school bus or hazardous material endorsement. 5. You must provide 2 proofs of domicile and either a Tennessee license or valid CDL from another state. Proof of Tennessee domicile will be required for original, reinstatement, new, returning residents, CDL permits, CDL conversions and a CDL upgrade. Original documents must be shown. Domicile is the person's fixed, permanent and principal home for legal purposes and to which a person has the intention of returning whenever he, she is absent. Resident means every person that makes Tennessee their state of domicile, or lives in Tennessee for a consecutive period of time exceeding 30 days and has taken employment or would qualify as a registered voter. Acceptable domicile documents. Current utility bill including landline telephone, electric, water, gas, cable, etc. includes bundle packages. Wireless telephone bills cannot be accepted. Current vehicle registration. Personal vehicle, not company vehicle, dated within the last 12 months. Tennessee vehicle title showing Tennessee address. You can use either title or vehicle registration, but not both as proofs. Mortgage papers, such as the property deed or mortgage payment coupon, book. Copy of lease agreement or contract with notarized signatures or accompanied by signed realty agency letterhead confirming lease validity. Voter registration card, not the application for voter registration. Military LES papers listing Tennessee as home of record. Current filed Internal Revenue Service tax return, not tax return booklet. Note: Internal Revenue Service e-filed returns must include the W-2 Form AND confirmation page and are acceptable only if dated within the previous tax year. All documents must Tennessee residential address. The same Tennessee address must be on all documents presented. 1.5 Exemptions. Exemptions from commercial driver license. The following drivers are not required to obtain a CDL in Tennessee. 1. Farmers or nurserymen transporting agricultural products, farm machinery or farm supplies to and from a farm or nursery, as long as the vehicle is operated inside the state of Tennessee within 150 miles of the farm or nursery, and is not used as a common or contract motor carrier. 2. Operators of emergency vehicles. 3. Active duty military personnel. Members of the military reserves, member of the National Guard on active duty, including personnel on full-time National Guard duty, personnel on part-time National Guard training, and National UARD military technicians, civilians who are required to wear military uniforms, and active duty U.S. Coast Guard personnel. This exception is not applicable to U.S. Reserve technicians. Important: This military exemption only applies to those drivers when operating a commercial vehicle for military purposes. 4. Operators of recreational vehicles. 5. Operators of vehicles leased strictly to transport personal possessions for non-business purposes. 1.6 Learner permits. In order to get a learner permit for a CDL, applicants must meet the same qualifications as for a full CDL, and pass all knowledge tests required for the vehicle they intend to operate. Learner permits are issued for 12 months from the date of issuance and cost $14 for a Class PA or $13 for a Class PB or Class PC. There is an additional charge of $2.50 for each endorsement. The permit will be added to the license a driver already has, which will more than likely have a different expiration date. Drivers with a learner permit may operate a commercial vehicle only when someone with a valid CDL for that class of vehicle is accompanying them in the front seat of the vehicle. 1.7 Where to apply. The commercial driver license knowledge test to be eligible to obtain a commercial driver license learner permit is offered at most driver service centers located throughout the state. Additional information on each driver license service center location, including hours of operation, can be obtained online at tn.gov/safety. All commercial driver license, CDL, skills tests are administered by appointment only at the following locations throughout the state: Chattanooga Bonnie Oaks, Hamilton Co. Cookeville, Putnam Co. Jackson, Madison Co. Johnson City, Washington Co. Knoxville Strawberry Plains, Knox Co. Nashville Hart Lane, Davidson Co. Columbia, Maury Co. Memphis, Shelby Co. Please assist us in providing the best possible service by keeping your appointment. CDL skills tests can be scheduled for any of the commercial driver license road skills test locations across the state by calling the CDL road test skills appointment line at 615-251-5217 between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. CST Monday through Friday. We are closed for observance of all state holidays. If you cannot keep your appointment, call the driver service center where your appointment is scheduled at least 24 hours in advance so another fellow driver from the waiting list can be scheduled in place of your appointment. Endorsements to a Tennessee commercial driver license. N. Permanent tanks are portable tanks of rated capacity of 1,000 gallons of liquid or gaseous material. H. Hazardous materials, hazmat. X. Permanent tanks are portable tanks of rated capacity of 1,000 gallons of liquid or gaseous material required to be placarded. T. Double, triple trailers. P. 16 or more passengers including driver. S. School bus. GCWR gross combination weight rating. GVWR gross vehicle weight rating. For all commercial drivers, before you apply for your CDL, prepare for your test. The CDL knowledge test can be taken at any full-service driver service center. You will not have to study this entire manual. Allow yourself plenty of time for your tests. At least 1 hour for the general knowledge test, and an additional 20 to 30 minutes for each additional test. Try to arrive as early in the day as possible. Stations have different operating schedules, so check ahead of time for days and hours of operation. If you need an oral test, please call ahead of time for an appointment. Obtain your DOT medical card. All drivers applying for a CDL license must have a current, valid DOT medical card before they are allowed to renew, get a duplicate, take a test, or in any way proceed with the CDL process. Having a current, valid medical card is also required if you are employed by a government entity and require the passenger, school bus, or hazardous material endorsement. Call the CDL help desk at 615-252-5217 between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. CST Monday through Friday to make an appointment for a CDL road skills test for any CDL skills testing location across the state. You must provide your own vehicle. Vehicle must be of the same class as the license you need and must be empty. Allow 1 to 2 hours for your road skills test. If you cancel your appointment less than 24 hours in advance, you will be placed at the end of the waiting list for future appointments. Be sure to bring with you your current valid medical card. See obtain your DOT medical card. Any and all driver licenses and state-issued IDs. Proof of your social security number. Proof of U.S. citizenship or lawful permanent resident status. 2 proofs of domicile and either a Tennessee license or valid CDL from another state. Acceptable documents for U.S. citizenship. Valid, unexpired U.S. passport. Certified copy of a birth certificate filed with a state office of vital statistics or equivalent agency in the individual's state of birth, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, American Samoa, or the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. Consular Report of Birth Abroad, CRBA, issued by the U.S. Department of State. Certificate of Naturalization issued by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS. Certificate of U.S. Citizenship issued by DHS. Acceptable documents for lawful permanent resident status. Valid, unexpired permanent resident card issued by United States Customs and Immigration Services, USCIS, or Immigration and Naturalization Service, INS. Acceptable domicile documents. Current utility bill including telephone, electric, water, gas, cable, etc., includes bundle packages. Wireless telephone bills cannot be accepted. Current vehicle registration, personal vehicle not company vehicle, dated within the last 12 months. TN vehicle title showing TN address, can use a title or vehicle registration as proof but not both. Mortgage papers, such as the property deed or mortgage payment coupon, book. Copy of lease agreement or contract with notarized signatures or accompanied by signed realty agency letterhead confirming lease validity. Voter registration card, not the application for voter registration. Military LES papers listing Tennessee as home of record. Current filed Internal Revenue Service tax return, not tax return booklet. Note: Internal Revenue Service e-filed returns must include the W-2 Form AND confirmation page and are acceptable and within the previous tax year. No photocopies can be accepted. All documents must include a Tennessee residential address. The same Tennessee address must be on all documents presented. Applying for a school bus endorsement. If you are applying for the school bus endorsement, you will need to provide a Form 2C from your employer. If you will be driving for a private school, you will need a letter from your employer, on school letterhead, instead of the Form 2C. Tennessee law requires that you be hired by a school system before testing for a school bus endorsement. The Form 2C or letter from the private school is the required proof of employment. Proof of relationship. Domicile may also be established through proof of relationship to a spouse, parent, child, sibling, or grandparent. The spouse, parent, child, sibling, or grandparent must hold a valid Tennessee driver license or identification license and be present at the driver services center with the CDL applicant upon initial application. The CDL applicant will be required to present two items with a Tennessee residential address from the list of acceptable domicile documents in the name of the immediate relative. CDL applicants using items in the name of one of these immediate relatives as proof of domicile must also provide proof of the relationship, such as spouse equals marriage certificate, parent, child equals birth certificate showing parent and child's full names, sibling equals both the applicant's and the sibling's birth certificates in order to verify they share at least one common parent. Also, the marriage certificate for the sibling if their current last name is different from their birth name. Grandparent equals applicant's birth certificate and birth certificate of the applicant's parent. This is necessary to show that the grandparent is the mother, father of the applicant's parent. Step-parents or step-siblings equals applicant's birth certificate and the parent's marriage certificate verifying the step-parent's marriage to one of the birth parents as shown on the applicant's birth certificate. For step-siblings, this would require the birth certificate for the applicant and sibling as well as the parent's marriage certificate. Unacceptable documents include bank statements, wireless telephone bills, credit card statements, utility connection or deposit receipt, employer letters, extended stay hotel receipts, magazine subscriptions or junk mail, personal or business postmark mail, prescription bottles, USCIS identity documents, for example, I-551, I-766, visas, etc. Hunting, fishing or boating licenses. Letters from a public or private school or educational institution. Travel document issued to permanent residents and refugees, I-327 and I-571. Acceptable domicile documents. Current utility bill including telephone, electric, water, gas, cable, etc., includes bundle packages. Wireless telephone bills cannot be accepted. Current vehicle registration, personal vehicle not company vehicle, dated within the last 12 months. TN vehicle title showing TN address, can use a title or vehicle registration as proof but not both. Mortgage papers, such as the property deed or mortgage payment coupon, book. Copy of lease agreement or contract with notarized signatures or accompanied by signed realty agency letterhead confirming lease validity. Voter registration card, not the application for voter registration. Military LES papers listing Tennessee as home of record. Current filed Internal Revenue Service tax return, not tax return booklet. Note: Internal Revenue Service e-filed returns must include the W-2 form and confirmation page and are acceptable and within the previous tax year. No photocopies can be accepted. All documents must include a Tennessee residential address. The same Tennessee address must be on all documents presented. Applying for a school bus endorsement. If you are applying for the school bus endorsement, you will need to provide a Form 2C from your employer. If you will be driving for a private school, you will need a letter from your employer, on school letterhead, instead of the Form 2C. Tennessee law requires that you be hired by a school system before testing for a school bus endorsement. The Form 2C or letter from the private school is the required proof of employment. Proof of relationship. Domicile may also be established through proof of relationship to a spouse, parent, child, sibling, or grandparent. The spouse, parent, child, sibling, or grandparent must hold a valid Tennessee driver license or identification license and be present at the driver services center with the CDL applicant upon initial application. The CDL applicant will be required to present two items with a Tennessee residential address from the list of acceptable domicile documents in the name of the immediate relative. CDL applicants using items in the name of one of these immediate relatives as proof of domicile must also provide proof of the relationship, such as spouse equals marriage certificate, parent, child equals birth certificate showing parent and child's full names, sibling equals both the applicant's and the sibling's birth certificates in order to verify they share at least one common parent. Also, the marriage certificate for the sibling if their current last name is different from their birth name. Grandparent equals applicant's birth certificate and birth certificate of the applicant's parent. This is necessary to show that the grandparent is the mother, father of the applicant's parent. Step-parents or step-siblings equals applicant's birth certificate and the parent's marriage certificate verifying the step-parent's marriage to one of the birth parents as shown on the applicant's birth certificate. For step-siblings, this would require the birth certificate for the applicant and sibling as well as the parent's marriage certificate. Unacceptable documents include bank statements, wireless telephone bills, credit card statements, utility connection or deposit receipt, employer letters, extended stay hotel receipts, magazine subscriptions or junk mail, personal or business postmark mail, prescription bottles, USCIS identity documents, for example, I-551, I-766, visas, etc. Hunting, fishing or boating licenses. Letters from a public or private school or educational institution. Fees for common, basic CDLS, issued for 5 years. Note: the length of your license is determined by the drive for 5 law. It may actually be from 4 to 7 years, depending upon the date of your next birthday evenly divided by 5. The cost is Class A, $46, $6 non-refundable application fee plus $40 license fee. Class B or C, $41, $6 non-refundable application fee plus $35 license fee. Add $2.50 for each endorsement you require, plus $18.50 for motorcycle class. 1.8 International Registration Plan International Fuel Tax Agreement. If you operate a CDL required vehicle in interstate commerce, the vehicle, with few exceptions, is required to be registered under the International Registration Plan, IRP, and the International Fuel Tax Agreement, IFTA. These federally mandated programs provide for the equitable collection and distribution of vehicle license fees and motor fuels taxes for vehicles traveling throughout the 48 contiguous United States and 10 Canadian provinces. Under the IRP, jurisdictions must register apportioned vehicles, which includes issuing license plates and cab cards or proper credentials, calculate, collect and distribute IRP fees, audit carriers for accuracy of reported distance and fees, and enforce IRP requirements. Registrant responsibilities under the plan include applying for IRP registration with base jurisdiction, providing proper documentation for registration, paying appropriate IRP registration fees, properly displaying registration credentials, maintaining accurate distance records, and making records available for jurisdiction review. The basic concept behind IFTA is to allow a licensee, motor carrier, to license in a base jurisdiction for the reporting and payment of motor fuel use taxes. Under the IFTA, A licensee is issued one set of credentials which will authorize operations through all IFTA member jurisdictions. The fuel use taxes collected pursuant to the IFTA are calculated based on the number of miles, kilometers, traveled in the number of gallons, liters, consumed in the member jurisdictions. The licensee files one quarterly tax return with the base jurisdiction by which the licensee will report all operations through all IFTA member jurisdictions. It is the base jurisdiction's responsibility to remit the taxes collected to other member jurisdictions and to represent the other member jurisdictions in the tax collection process, including the performance of audits. An IFTA licensee must retain records to support the information reported on the IFTA quarterly tax return. The IRP registrant and the IFTA licensee may be the vehicle owner or the vehicle operator. The requirement for acquiring IRP plates for a vehicle and IFTA license for a motor carrier is determined by the definitions from the IRP plan and the IFTA for qualified vehicle and qualified motor vehicle. For purposes of IRP, a qualified vehicle is, except as provided below, any power unit that is used or intended for use in two or more member jurisdictions and that is used for the transportation of persons for hire or designed, used, or maintained primarily for the transportation of property, and I, has two axles and a gross vehicle weight or registered gross vehicle weight in excess of 26,000 pounds, 11,793.401 kilograms, or E, has three or more axles, regardless of weight, or E, is used in combination, when the gross vehicle weight of such combination exceeds 26,000 pounds, 11,793.401 kilograms. While similar, the qualified motor vehicle in IFTA means a motor vehicle used, designed, or maintained for transportation of persons or property and 1. Having two axles and a gross vehicle weight or registered gross vehicle weight exceeding 26,000 pounds or 11,797 kilograms, or 2. Having three or more axles regardless of weight, or 3, is used in combination, when the weight of such combination exceeds 26,000 pounds or 11,797 kilograms gross vehicle or registered gross vehicle weight. Qualified motor vehicle does not include recreational vehicles. If the vehicle you operate is registered under IRP and you are a motor carrier licensed under IFTA, then you are required to comply with the mandatory record-keeping requirements for operating the vehicle. A universally accepted method of capturing this information is through the completion of an individual vehicle distance record, IVDR, sometimes referred to as a driver trip report. This document reflects the distance traveled and fuel purchased for a vehicle that operates interstate under apportioned IRP, registration and IFTA fuel tax credentials. Although the actual format of the IVDR may vary, the information that is required for proper record keeping does not. In order to satisfy the requirements for individual vehicle distance records, these documents must include the following information. Distance. Per Article 4 of the IRP plan. I. Date of trip, starting and ending. E. Trip origin and destination, city and state or province. E. Route of travel. IV. Beginning and ending odometer or hubodometer reading of the trip. V. Total distance traveled. V. In jurisdiction distance. V. Power unit number or vehicle identification number. Fuel. Per Section P560 of the IFTA Procedures Manual. .300 An acceptable receipt or invoice must include, but shall not be limited to, the following. .005 Date of purchase. .010 Seller's name and address. .015 Number of gallons or liters purchased. .020 Fuel type. .025 Price per gallon or liter or total amount of sale. .030 Unit number or other unique vehicle identifier. .035 Purchaser's name. Each individual IVDR should be filled out for only one vehicle. The rules to follow when trying to determine how and when to log an odometer reading are the following. At the beginning of the day. when leaving the state or province. At the end of the trip per day. Not only do the trips need to be logged, but the fuel purchases need to be documented as well. You must obtain a receipt for all fueling and include it with your completed IVDR. Make sure that any trips that you enter are always filled out in descending order and that your trips include all state provinces that you traveled through on your route. There are different routes that a driver may take, and most of the miles may be within one state or province. Whether or not the distance you travel is primarily in one jurisdiction or spread among several jurisdictions, all information for the trip must be recorded. This includes the dates, the routes, odometer readings, and fuel purchases. By completing this document in full and keeping all records required by both the IRP and the IFTA, you will have ensured that you and your company are in compliance with all state and provincial laws surrounding fuel and distance record-keeping requirements. The IVDR serves as the source document for the calculation of fees and taxes that are payable to the jurisdictions in which the vehicle is operated, so these original records must be maintained for a minimum of 4 years. In addition, these records are subject to audit by the taxing jurisdictions. Failure to maintain complete and accurate records could result in fines, penalties, and suspension or revocation of IRP registrations and IFTA licenses. For additional information on the IRP and the requirements related to the IRP, contact your base jurisdiction Motor Vehicle Department or IRP, Inc., the official repository for the IRP. Additional information can be found on the IRP, Inc. website. At www.irponline.org. There is a training video on the website homepage available in English, Spanish, and French. For additional information on IFTA and the requirements related to IFTA, contact the appropriate agency in your base jurisdiction. You will also find useful information about the agreement at the official repository of IFTA at http://www.iftac.org/index.php.